The Sports Cast, June 7th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. We had a lot of downloads this past weekend, so a lot of interest going on there. Anyways, the Mavericks have been eliminated from the NBA playoffs, going 7 games. And each game, the away team won, except the last one, which was pretty exciting. Join us all the way from Rochester. Just moved his office to the ground floor. Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it is good to be here. Tough loss for my Mavericks, but, you know, it's what it is, and we'll see what happens to the Clippers going against the Jazz now.
Before we get into the Mavericks, did you watch the fight last night between Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather?
No, I did not. I know there's some interest in it, but not really my thing. So,
well, I watched it.
I stick to sports with balls. That's what I say.
I watched it, and you know something? I will have to say that I think some people from the boxing community could take Logan Paul a little serious in the future.
As I heard, you know, that he is able to go with Floyd Mayweather. I know there was no judges, so there's really no – there was no winner, but, yeah, I mean, stay with, you know, one of the greatest fighters in the world. So I put everybody on notice, I guess.
Yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, and to be honest, when I watched the fight, Mayweather did look 44. He did look a bit sluggish, I thought. But he said it. Hey, this is, I mean, Logan was better than I thought. He's 26 years old, went 8 rounds. Some people said, you know, Mayweather could have gone for the knockout, but of course, he probably avoided that just for the entertainment of the sport. But great matches yesterday. Chad Ochocinco got knocked out before that too, by the way.
Yeah, I know that was surprising for sure.
I didn't know he was boxing until, well, I kind of knew. I think I saw his name, but I didn't realize it until like last night. But hey, you know. Sometimes you need to make a few extra bucks in retirement, don't you?
Absolutely. It always seems like you got these guys who won one last payday, so they always go to boxing or martial arts, whatever. So
hey, we'll see if we'll see someone like anyone else from the NBA. I could picture it. Anyways, into the NBA, the LA Clippers defeated the Dallas Mavericks 126-111. The only series in the first round that went to 7 games, close matchup throughout. I was telling Ryan from game one, I think a rivalry is brewing. Ryan, what were your thoughts over this game and over this series?
We'll stick with the last night in general. You know, it really showed, I think, I guess for the whole series, is that Luka Doncic was the best player on the court, but the Clippers were the best team. When Luka Doncic was able to, you know, manufacture baskets for everybody else, you know, the Mavericks were tough to beat, you know, because he was able to get open looks not just for himself but for others and, you know, and others' headshots. But, you know, the Mavericks were down by 8 going into halftime yesterday, you know, went on a big run to start the half, got up by 5 points, and then they just fell apart, Santiago. You know, those shots they were making for the series, they stopped hitting them. It really showed, you know, the lack of secondary option that Kristaps Porzingis was brought in to be. He just, you know, even for the whole series, was just non-existent. You know, I guess really the only alarming thing with Luka was how great he was in the first half, you know, and how second half, a lot of times he just disappeared. Even in wins, he wasn't the same. I think he's very critical of himself and overthinks things later on in the game. But you got to remember, he's only 22 years old. But heads off to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. He really stepped up yesterday. And what I thought was the big difference is that their role players, you know, the Reggie Jackson, you know, Marcus Morris, they both went for 20 points yesterday. When those guys go for 20, it's tough to beat the Clippers.
Clippers. Kawhi Leonard finished with 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists, plus 4 steals in 40-plus minutes in the win. Luka Doncic, as Ryan was saying, did everything in his power to get the Mavericks into the second round. He finished with a game-high 46 points with 14 assists and 7 rebounds, but it wasn't enough. Tim Hardaway Jr. had an off night shooting the ball, and Dallas defense was non-existent in the loss. How significant was Hardaway's performance yesterday?
Well, I mean, he's kind of carried the load as a second scorer for the Mavericks this series. So, you know, but he's not a guy. I think the problem with Tim Hardaway is, and why he doesn't get the respect that, you know, some games he earns, is that he doesn't do it consistently. He'll have good games, he'll have off games. You know, the difference between a superstar and off game is still a good game for most people. But when he has a bad game, he has a bad game and he can't hit those clutch shots. But the Mavericks do have a tough decision with him, you know, what to do with his future, because he is a free agent, so, and he's going to kind of demand a big payday. So choices for Don Nelson Jr. in the front office to make.
Yesterday, after the game, there was some noise over coach of the Mavericks, Rick Carlisle. They were asking him about his future with the Mavericks. And then they also asked Mark Cuban. And Mark Cuban pretty much said, look, it's just hard to find a new coach. I think it's, you know, going through all this whole dilemma and juggling. But it sounds like he's going to stick with Rick Carlisle. What are your thoughts over that? Was that an appropriate, you know, topic to bring up, you know, Rick Carlisle's tenure in the Mavericks?
Anytime you lose and, you know, in the playoffs, you know, it always comes up, you know, did you meet the expectations? Is this the guy to lead you to the next level? You know, did I reach to the highest point under this coach? Ricardo has been there for a very long time, you know, in a league of but not very stableness when it comes to coaching, to find stability, you know, and he's just, you know, he's a good fundamental coach. He made some bold moves in the playoffs, you know, changed up rotations, which were helped some games yesterday. I think it kind of blew up a little bit. Mark Cuban's very loyal to Rick Carlisle, and that's kind of, you know, you don't see, you know, they haven't been successful, the Mavericks, necessarily in advancing to the playoffs, but there's very little turmoil in the organization. You know, players seem happy, but, you know, you're at a crossroad. You got a budding superstar in Luka Doncic. You know, you got to build around him. You got to keep him happy. So, really, I think it depends really along the relationship that Carlisle and Doncic have, really depend on how long Carlisle stays as coach.
Mark Cuban said, he says, I'm not just going to change a coach just to change a coach. You know, that's what he said. He shot that down pretty quick. You know, Mark Cuban's a very emotional guy, very involved in the stands, you can say. But Carlisle is going to stay. Speculation, always is appropriate when you lose, just like what Ryan said. He did not, like, this past weekend, there was two coaches that got fired, which was the Magic coach and the Blazers coach, Coach Stotts. Ryan, what are your thoughts about that? Was that a surprising move, Blazers firing Terry Stotts?
No, and I think it really came down to both parties understood is that, you know, his coaching style, he basically got the most that he could get out of these guys in the sense of, you know, they could never get to the next level. You know, they win a couple of first-round series, but never, you know, a couple of years ago they went to conference finals. But when you got a superstar in his absolute prime right now, Damian Lillard, you can't miss out, you know. So they're at this crossroads as an organization. You know, what do they do to bring in a new coach? Do they try to dump Damian Lillard in the sense of trying to really restart the franchise? You know, what is the expectation? So I know Damian Lillard, you know, has been very loyal to the Blazers, never really talked about going to another organization, wants to win in Portland. But as an organization, they might just say, you know, it's not working with him, even though he is one of maybe the top 10 players in the league right now. And how many times they try to rebuild around Damian Lillard, and, you know, now you change the coaches. So I know Damian Lillard was very big on bringing Jason Kidd, and Jason Kidd, you know, Lakers assistant coach, said absolutely not. So
turning down pretty, you know, quick. Shut that down really fast.
I guess it goes along. Some people in the organization, upper level organization, were very critical of Jason Kidd's prior off the court issues they had years ago. And I think that would have come up in interviews. And I think Jason Kidd was ready to move on from that.
By the way,
go ahead.
Finish that thought.
I think Damian Lillard is very loyal to people from Oakland, California area where he's from. So I think he wanted to give Jason Kidd mold very well with that. And you could say, yeah, that's a star player just being a star player. But literally Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant picked Steve Nash to be their coach. So, you know, superstars run the league in the NBA again because you got to keep them happy.
Another testament. By the way, Jason Kidd is a former Mavericks player. Can you see him coaching the Mavericks in the future?
I mean, I could see him coming back and coaching. You know, he's one of those first, really changing the dynamics of coaching in the sense of players coming literally right off the court and becoming head coaches, you know, with no experience, you know, it's kind of a tricky situation because there's a lot of coaches who've really grinded out for a long time, you know, and never really gotten the shot to be a head coach, you know, and it's kind of a slap in the face when guys literally come off the court and become head coaches. But what Jason Kidd did when he coached the Bucks years ago. But I think he will be a good head coach again. Point guards typically make the best head coaches because they're really the coaches on the court. So we'll see what happens with Jason Kidd in the future.
As Ryan said, Jason Kidd became a head coach right off the bat. Mm-hmm. He was coach for the Brooklyn Nets first season. I believe they went to the Bucks and didn't work out, so he downgraded to an assistant coach, and he's with the L.A. Lakers as we speak, who got eliminated last week.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers, I mean, India, I don't know if he's holding up to become the Lakers coach one day. I think Frank Vogel is not a bad coach, but there's this perception that they kind of settled with Frank Vogel when they hired him, even though he won the championship last year in the bubble. I don't know if he's really the home run hire or that Los Angeles glamorous coach that, you know, that organization usually has. So we'll see what his long-term future is as a Lakers coach.
You know, there was an argument I was hearing this morning that the NBA teams, you know, doesn't really need coaches. They kind of, like, you know, for example, Steve Kerr, is he a good coach or is this because his team is good? Frank Vogel won last year with the Lakers, you know, that big argument, but it's very, very obscure argument.
I think coaches do matter. You know, I don't know at this level, it's not, you know, it's how you organize your team, how it makes a big difference. Because you think about the Bulls years ago, before, you know, Phil Jackson got there, they're a team that just really couldn't get over the hump.
Collins.
You know, they bring in Phil Jackson with the same glue of people, you know, and what did they end up, you know, winning championship after championship. So, yes, I think coaches do matter. I think Steve Kerr brought in a new system. You know, players play, coaches, you know, put in a system, and then, you know, it's how the players react to the system. And I think he had a perfect system for, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. So, yes, I think they do matter. But
can you see Steve Nash winning his first chip this year?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt when you got great players. I mean, we'll talk about, I'm sure, James Harden's hamstring injury again, you know. But you still have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin. So we'll see what, you know, what the Nets, you know, it's, I think the Bucks will hit him again tonight. You know, and Bucks didn't, I don't think, played that great the other night. I don't think they shot as good as they could. So we'll see.
We'll see if they bounce back in game two. Clippers move on and just beat the Mavericks, as we were talking about. They go again. They go up against the Jazz tomorrow night. How do you see this series, Ryan?
There's a, you know, there's an interesting thing we got to think about is Mike Conley's injury for the Jazz. How severe is it? You know, is he going to be able to bounce back? Because they're kind of going on a roll there when they got Donovan Mitchell back against the Grizzlies and won the last four straight games. I think the Jazz kind of, they play within a system really well in the sense of, you know, players able to plug and play. You know, they're very unselfish. They hit a tremendous amount of three-pointers. And then you got the defensive stopper and Rudy Gobert protecting the hoop. So I think the Jazz are going to be too tough from what I've seen, you know, watching the Clippers play the last seven games. You know, they're kind of erratic. They go up and down. In a sense, you know, they met, what I saw against the Mavericks is that they don't play consistent throughout the whole game. You know, there's definitely lapses where, you know, they'll settle for shots. They're not aggressive. You know, it really, you know, they need, if Kawhi or Paul George aren't leading the charge, they're not able to get the other players involved. So I think the Jazz will do a good job of trying to take those two players away because they're so, you know, they play great defense. They make open shots. So I'm going to say the Jazz will probably win in six or seven games.
I say seven games. Like what Ryan was saying, Clippers were going up and down. And it's not really, I mean, I've probably seen the series where I see the away teams winning. I think I saw it once or twice in my life in the past, but I haven't seen it like in a bit. So it was quite interesting to see them going back and forth. And then like, you know, the game.
I could see, I think as the Mavericks was disappointing because you literally for the first time in a long time, you actually had a filled building in Dallas. You know, you had, you know, literally no regulations. You had 18,000 people in there.
And, compared, you know, to LA, like only 6,000 were allowed.
Yeah, you know, it's a much lower, you know, so you're still kind of at, you know, 6,000 for LA is, you know, better than they even were having a couple weeks ago, but that's where most teams were before the playoffs, and now most, you know, Utah will have pretty much a filled house. They'll have to go against that. Phoenix will be pretty filled for their series, and Denver is, I think, 3/4 filled. So they're kind of behind the eight ball in the sense of, you know, have fan involvement there. And the Clippers and always kind of got that knack of, you know, they don't have the diehard fans in L.A. You know, they'll have the fans who will show up and things are good, and you'll have a lot of opposing teams because the game's in L.A., so a lot of people will like to go to L.A. to cheer on their team. So, especially when they play the Clippers. So we'll see what happens, you know, how fans will be involved in playoffs there. So, but I definitely think the Jazz will win in seven. I think the Suns, I think, are a much better team than the Nuggets, especially – you can't really, you know, the Nuggets guards played out of their mind against the Blazers the last couple weeks, but the Suns are much different. And because the Suns will play defense, you know, for 48 minutes, you know, where the Blazers, you know, the weakness, they may be a better offensive team, the Blazers at times, but the ability to make stops, and which is the difference in the series, is the Blazers at times would be, you know, severely hampered by their defense.
You can never underestimated Denver Nuggets. They're a sneaky team, I say. They like, once you think you're 3-1, but they can come back and tie it up.
No, I'm not discarding the Nuggets. I'm not definitely discarding Djokovic. Or Djokovic. I think he'll push the Suns, but, you know, in the end, I think that, you know, Chris Paul and Devin Booker and, you know, Ayton, they're too much for the Nuggets.
We'll see what happens. Suns, I believe in Vegas, are the favorite to win out of the West, but we'll talk about that later in the next couple of weeks. Julio Jones traded to the Tennessee Titans for a couple of round couple draft picks. Ryan, this was brewing for the past couple of days. Julio Jones wanted to leave since like the beginning of the offseason. Of course, he said it during the uninterrupted show on Fox with Shannon Sharp. What are your thoughts about this move for the Titans? Is the Titans now a contender in the AFC now?
It's unique because still, when you think of Tennessee Titans, you know, what makes them successful is the ground game with Derrick Henry. But now you've got also A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Josh Reynolds, which is, I think, an underrated pickup, but, you know, the third receiver for the Rams for the last several years. You know, I think this will be a dangerous team. But, you know, I don't know if it's enough to bring them over the hump. You know, is Ryan Tannehill a good enough passer, you know, to keep everybody happy? We'll see. But it's definitely an eye-opener. But here's what I said. I think the Falcons were hoping to get a first-round pick and was kind of holding out. But I think eventually it got so bad, they start their mandatory minicamp tomorrow. So you really just wanted to put this whole situation to bed by then. So I think that was the point of this deal this weekend. And I think, you know, Julio Jones was a good teammate, good for organization. He never really complained. So they kind of really let him pick and choose where he wanted to go. But in a sense, but he couldn't go anywhere, everywhere because of his contract situation was so high. But this is a good move, though, for the Falcons. Not necessarily for the compensation they got back, but for the amount of money they're saving. It really just loosens up their franchise to be able to sign several players, not just obviously for the rest before this season, but, you know, going forward for the next season. I think it's good, and it kind of lets you know they got Calvin Ridley. They just drafted
Kyle Pitts.
So, you know, now you still have plenty of weapons for Matt Ryan.
They're not empty-handed.
No, I still think their offense will be good. And the offense has never been the issue in Atlanta. It's always been their defense. So we'll see what happens.
Where would you put the Titans? Top four, top two, top five? Where would you put them?
I don't think I even move them. I think they were a top five team last year, and I'd probably put them in top five. So, you know, but I still think that, you know, nothing's really changed for me. I still think the Chiefs are number one. The Bills are number two. I maybe move in the Browns at number three.
Wow.
You know, and then maybe that's where Ravens, Titans, I think, are sliding for four or five. But that's
– which eight rivalries brewing there, because the Ravens did beat the Titans this past postseason.
But here's another, you know, I think there's – talking about, obviously, you know, Dane, you know, we're talking football for a minute. AFC – watch out for the Indianapolis Colts. I think, you know, bringing in Carson Wentz, giving him a fresh start. He obviously hasn't been the same player we've seen the last couple of years. So having him hopefully at 100% in a new organization with a lot of talent around, not necessarily skill position, but I think it's a very good roster. I think Carson Wentz could, if he plays up to his potential and everybody around him plays well, could put the Colts in the top five.
He's also working with his old quarterback coach from the Eagles, who's now with the Colts, so that could help his familiarity as well.
Yeah, no, I think the Colts are definitely a team, you know, maybe not getting all the pub, but it definitely AFC, you know, watch out for.
Definitely do it right now before the Jaguars get better, right?
Jaguars, you know, yeah, I think the Jaguars will be fine this year. I think they'll win four or five games. I think Trevor Lawrence will show you why he's pick number one, but also show you why he's a rookie at times too. I think they drafted well in the sense of, you know, you got Trevor Lawrence, and now you got, now along with James Robinson, now you drafted Travis Etienne. You got some help for him in the backfield, so. I like what they're doing.
How about Tebow?
you know I love Tebow Santiago, so but I also know it's a very weird situation coming in and playing tight end after not playing for several years. If anything, this is a nice distraction for Trevor Lawrence because all the attention isn't on him during all these camps. So,
how many games will Tebow play?
I don't know. I think it's a pretty low shot he gets any games and then maybe the preseason games. But
yeah, that's what I was asking. You could say zero.
I think zero regular season games. I think he makes it halfway through the preseason.
And preseason is only three games this year, guys.
Yep, so yeah, four must be playing the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame game. Well, it's only two teams play that. Anyways, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's go for a quick recap. What's going on? Avalanche is tied with Vegas 2-2. Montreal is up 3-0 against Winnipeg Jets. Islanders are tied with the Bruins 2-2. Your Bruins. And then Tampa Bay's up 3-1. How is this Stanley Cup playoffs forming up for you, Ryan?
They're definitely not my Bruins, Santiago. My Penguins got eliminated by the Islanders in the first round. But it's still, you know, I still think Vegas, if they can get through to the Stanley Cup Finals, should be the team to beat. But, you know, they're, you know, getting pushed around a little bit there, and that's a good series. I'm really, really surprised about, you know, the Canadiens beating the Jets this badly. The Canadiens are kind of took Maple Leafs by storm in the first round, you know, coming back from, I think, a 3-1 deficit to beat them. But I really, you know, to me, it's Vegas' cup to lose. I think they're just the best team right now. But the Bruins and Islanders, I think, is a very fun series. You know, they're both two teams that play fun fundamental hockey. You know, they don't give you anything easy, make you work hard to get goals, but they, you know, they definitely have the playmakers on both teams, you know, to make that extra play to score.
There you have it. We haven't brushed on the NHL much this past couple of weeks, but things are forming up, and hopefully towards the Stanley Cup finale, we'll definitely be talking more of what's going to happen. But Ryan just said it, you know, so we'll see how it goes. Tonight, game two, Bucks at Brooklyn Nets. Ryan Krista, who do you have?
I think the Bucks even up the series 1-1 heading back to Milwaukee.
If not, is this the Nets series to win it?
No. The Bucks got to win one of the next two games. That's all I can say. So if they don't win tonight, then they got to win the next game in Brooklyn or Milwaukee.
Late tonight, Ryan might be staying up with that if he has coffee. Denver Nuggets at Phoenix, 10 p.m. game. Ryan, who takes game one?
I think the Suns. I think the Suns are just in a better spot right now, but don't discredit the Nuggets and Jokic. He's the MVP for a reason. So, but Suns has got too many weapons. I think what they did to the Lakers, you know, with AD or without AD, you know, they were just a better team than the Lakers, I think, overall, and that's why they won the series.
But what if it was a healthy Lakers team? The whole dynamic changes?
It changes, sure. I mean, AD is one of the best players in the world, but I think I saw enough out of the Suns to think that they were a better team right at that point. I just think that the Lakers never had injury problems this year, and then they just never really got back on track. So,
yeah, short off season. You know, season ended in October. Then they started again in November.
But you remember, I mean, two months before the end of the season, the Lakers are, you know, first or second in the league, you know, the conference. But both LeBron and AD both got hurt and missed, you know, a lot of the, you know, the last couple months, and they just never really were the same team.
Random question: if you were a coach, would you take Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid?
That's a good question. I think Anthony Davis is, you know, seems a little, you know, Joel Embiid can hit the three-pointer, but he's not going to really take you to the basket. He posts up, that's like his thing, but Anthony Davis can shoot, drive. He's just taking his game to the next level, which we just didn't see this year, especially during clutch moments. But well, I think we'll see a full-strength, you know, Lakers next year, which I think will, again, put him at that top of the list to be title contenders. They just need to They need to find some shooting, Santiago. It's the year 2021, and if you can't shoot the ball, you're not going to win many games, you know, because all teams are doing is just pack the paint and make those guys shoot. So we'll see what the Lakers do in the offseason.
And things will get complicated with the Lakers when Klay Thompson comes back with the Warriors next season. Poll question on Twitter. What is the best chocolate ice cream flavor? Options are chocolate fudge brownie, chocolate peanut butter, chocolate mint, or Rocky Road. What are your pick? What is your pick?
Chocolate mint.
Chocolate what? Mint?
Yeah.
That's a good pick. And chocolate mint is tied with peanut butter and Rocky Road. And fudge brownie is last.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, of course, you could definitely vote that in our Twitter page, The Sportscast 1. Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you online? Talk to you about, are we seeing the best Phoenix Suns team in history?
Mad Dog Report on Twitter. I don't know. Charles Barkley might have other comments on that. San Diego, we can't end this conversation without talking about USA's big victory last night over Mexico.
Yes, USA won the Nations League final 3-2. The game was Mexico was leading 1-0, then it tied 1-1. Then I think Mexico scored again 2-1. USA tied. And then at the end, Christian Pulisic scored the penalty, made it 3-2. Pretty exciting. A full USA A squad playing at your Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado, Ryan.
Yes. I mean, I don't know how the world will rate that Mexico squad, you know, but it was good. Anytime we can beat Mexico in the championship final is good. You know, there's an important couple of months coming up with World Cup qualifying, Santiago, so we can't miss out again. So hopefully it'll give us confidence.
Yeah, and of course with this win, we'll definitely gain his confidence for the qualifiers and also the Gold Cup this summer. And of course we got the Euros beginning this weekend, so pretty excited. And of course you could follow us all along on thesportscast.net and on Twitter at thesportscast1. Ryan Krista, before we go, quick updates on your Sharks.
So we got our first win last weekend. I don't think I've talked to you since then, so we're 1-2.
I heard, actually. I don't know if you told me or I just heard from Twitter or something. Anyways, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so 1-2 right now. Got a couple week break before our next game. You know, just some scheduling funk. You know that is, but we'll see if we can keep the ship going on when we start back here in a couple weeks. But you know, so good things are happening in Sharkland.
Sharkland. And before we go, Brad Stevens is no longer going to coach and just be basketball of operations in Boston.
That was a strange situation, Santiago. I was like, I remember that morning last week, you know, driving, saying, you know, first I'm hearing Danny Ainge, you know, is retiring. I'm like, okay. The next thing I know, you know, 5 minutes later, Brad Stevens is, you know, stepping down as coach and taking over Danny Ainge's position. So I think the Boston organization values Brad Stevens as a basketball mind. And I think, you know, I think if things don't work out as whoever they pick as head coach, then maybe he'll come back and take over again. But I think he was just getting a little burned out. I think when you have high expectations and, you know, you're not necessarily meeting them, and it kind of wears on you, you know, that day-to-day travel. And, you know, this last season, it took a lot of, you know, they did a lot of traveling, Santiago, these NBA teams, you know.
After
when you
the
play
bubble.
76 games in a, you know, in a much shorter time span than you would normally play 82 games, it wore on everybody. So I think he wanted to step away from coaching, but Boston didn't want to lose him in the organization, so this is the best fit. So it's really interesting who they're going to go for as their next coach. You know, you got rumors of Florin, you know, from a lot of different people. And the most interesting would be, you know, female coach Becky Hammond, who is currently the assistant coach for the Spurs. So I think that would be a name to really watch out for.
Yeah, I heard she's a strong contender. So we'll definitely keep you guys up to date what happens in Boston. Big basketball legacy there, and they want to see something going. They haven't won anything. you know, since 2008. So, you know, we hopefully hope best for the Celtics. I know they have a strong legacy as the Lakers, you know. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, Paul Pierce was at the fight last night. So it was strange to see him
Celtics
there. Anyways.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see who the candidate is for the Magic. You know, I think that's somebody who's going to have a really rough go about it right now with the state of the Orlando Magic.
Steve Clifford.
So you have two openings. Yeah, Steve Clifford, I think, was just a victim of circumstances. I think the organization, is definitely going to, in a total rebuild mode after they traded everybody the trade deadline. So I don't think it's necessarily Steve Clifford's fault. I think the organization knows that. They might not think he's the guy who they want to bring in to rebuild the organization. So I think that's more or less it. Steve Clifford could be a guy who can take a good team to make, you know, overachieve. You know, I think the Magic a couple years ago when they made it to the playoffs was pretty much the same core of players they had this year. But they never were able to kind of build off of that. You know, next year they kind of took a, you know, didn't really improve. And then this year they kind of were a dumpster fire before the trade deadline. So that's why you go out and see they traded Aaron Gordon, Vukovic, and Evan Fournier. So they really have not a lot to build off of right now, but they'll go through the draft and, you know, maybe a free agent or two. So,
hey, hopefully they'll bring back the Penny Hardaway Shaq days, but it takes time. Anyways, Ryan Krista, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
No problem, Daniel. Have a good one, everybody. God bless.